While every branch in me that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Some people have pulled one verse out of that and said, ask whatever you want and you'll get it. Well, read the whole verse. It says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, if you are following Jesus, if you are doing what he asks you to do, then you can ask whatever you want and he will do it for you. And in doing that, you must be bearing fruit. That connection between Jesus as the vine and we as the branches is so important that Paul even compares it to the intimacy of a husband and wife. When he says, for we are all members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. Christ and the church are to be like a husband and wife, like a family. Then John goes on in the next verses to describe the relationship between the branches, between Christians themselves. And he says this, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his father, his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love one another. Notice again when it says, the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name if you bear fruit, if you're doing what God has asked you to do. That's the caveat that most people tend to forget. God wants us to stay connected to him. He wants us to be doing the things we're supposed to be doing. He wants us to be bearing fruit. And part of bearing fruit is to love each other. Now, the word love there is the word agape, which means to love as God loves. To love regardless of whether you get love back. To do the right thing for someone. To live the right way. To put them first. That's what it's all about. That's why Jesus prayed in John 17 and verse 11. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. I'm coming to you, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Jesus wants us all to be one. He wants us all to think alike, to be alike, to have the same goals, and that goal being to please God and do things his way. Paul wrote in Romans 8, verse 29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. God wants us to be like Jesus. He wants us to look like Jesus. When people see us, they ought to say, boy, you remind me of Jesus. You remind me of the things he would say, the way he would act, what he would do. We are to be conformed to the likeness of Jesus. And in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. You see, to become like Jesus, we can't do it ourselves. We can't say, oh, I'm going to be like Jesus. You can't. But God can make you that way. He can transform you. He's the one that does the changing, not us. If we try to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, that doesn't work. But God can. He can do all things. We need to trust Him. You see, the image of God will show itself in our lives through an obedient spirit, following the commands of Jesus. Jesus did what God asked Him to do. If we follow Him, we're going to do what God asked us to do also. Jesus said in John 13, verse 34, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Loving each other is not an option. Loving each other is not an occasional action. Instead, it's to be the defining lifestyle of one who is a Christian. Understanding the love that God has for us motivates us to love other people. If we understand how much He loves us, how can we help but love others? How can we help but pass that love on? You see, when you have a close friend, you analyze the desires of that friend so that you'll know how to please them. To please Jesus, we must love our fellow branches. That love comes down to the attitude of, well, if we want to love our fellow Christians, we need to serve them. We need to want to help them. Is that the attitude that we have? Do we want to serve other people? Do we want to help other people? Or do we want to be the one who's always helped? Which side do we come down on? Do you have the attitude of wanting to help and serve or not? It's hard for us sometimes to associate love with a command. Because we've always heard love is a feeling. You feel love. Well, Jesus commanded love. Jesus said again in John 13, 34, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. You must love one another." It's not optional. It's not a feeling. It's a command. That demands a commitment. It doesn't call for us to always like what the other person does, but rather for us to work for their well-being. You see, Jesus is telling His disciples, love one another. He's telling Christians, love one another. Do you know any Christians that are just hard to love? A little harder to get along with than others? I mean, there are some branches that are a little twisted, a little immature. Some people demand tough love. Jesus calls that pruning. To produce the proper fruit. We all know people who are hard to love. But Jesus didn't say it would be easy. He said it takes effort. Somebody has described loving as doing love. That's a pretty good explanation. Love is an activity. And sometimes it may be like work. Look at the description of love in 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, does not boast, and it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, is not self-seeking or easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That sounds like work. Those aren't feelings. Those are things you have to do. Those are things you have to work at in order to feel that way and act that way and be that way. You see, some people try to figure out love in some other way, but God always wants what's best for us. He wants us to love in a way that helps the other person. He wants us to give second chances to difficult branches. Sometimes we run into somebody that's just hard to get along with. They're just hard to love. And God says, love them anyway. Give them a second chance. We need to pray for the Lord to deepen our love and our trust for our fellow Christians. You know, some people try to manufacture love by insisting that everyone conform to the same wording. Everybody has to use the same Bible. Everybody has to dress the same. Everybody has to speak the same. Everybody has to have the same thoughts on matters of opinion. Other people say, well, you need to remove all boundaries by just saying that love and fellowship are unconditional. Just love everybody, get along with everybody, accept whatever anybody says or does. That what the Bible says doesn't matter as much as what they feel. But the church is called on to do a specific thing, and that one specific thing is to uncover the truth and teach the truth respectfully and without wavering. In 1 Peter 3, verse 15, we're told, "But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason of the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." We need to always be prepared to explain why we believe what we believe. Now, if you have trouble loving somebody, remember, the best motivation for loving difficult people is to recall that Christ loved you when you were hard to love. Romans 5, verse 8, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Realizing that Jesus died for us and loved us while we were thoughtless, when we were ungrateful for what he did, when we had ignored him and refused to listen to him, when we realized that we used to be that way, then we can be more patient with other people. As fellow branches, we have to forgive each other. That's perhaps the hardest part of doing love, is forgiving someone else. We find it sometimes easier to apply Jesus' instructions to love our enemies than to love our fellow Christians. But listen to his words and apply those to our fellow Christians, to our fellow branches who are hard to love. In Luke 6, "But I tell you who hear me," Jesus says, "love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you. And if someone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to those love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." You see, we read those and that's talking about enemies outside the church. That's talking about everyone, even fellow Christians, even those twisted branches that are a little hard to get along with sometimes. We are to love them and do what's best for them. You see, Jesus called us to a radical love, a love that makes us unique. He told us to bear with each other in Colossians 3:13 and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. You see, if we understand that Christ forgave us, how can we not forgive somebody else? Have you experienced the love and forgiveness of Jesus? Jesus said in John 13:35, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Do we love each other? Do we want the best for someone? If someone says something that bothers us or offends us, do we forgive them? Or do we hold a grudge and remember what they said back so long ago? Are we willing to let things go and live the kind of life that Jesus wants us to live, to be the kind of examples he wants us to live? You know, we just had Valentine's Day yesterday. And Valentine's Day is all about love, love, love. Well, we as Christians are to be about love. But it's the kind of love that God has, the kind of love that he has for us, the kind of love that says, "I'm going to love you, I'm going to do what's best for you, regardless of whether you love me back, regardless of whether you treat me right, regardless of how you say or do, I'm going to do the right thing because I have a Father who loves me and forgave me when I did things wrong." That's the kind of love we are to have. That's the kind of love that Jesus wants us to have. Have you experienced that love? Have you been forgiven by Jesus? Have you obeyed the simple plan of salvation? Have you believed in Jesus as God's Son? Have you repented of your sins and turned to Him for forgiveness? Confess your faith in Jesus in words and deed, and been baptized, immersed into water in order to have your sins taken away. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. Have you struggled with the idea of loving the other branches as you should? Has it been difficult for you to forgive people? Jesus said in Mark 6:14-15, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Do you find it hard to forgive other people? Do you need the prayers of your fellow Christians to live the kind of life that God wants you to live? If you need to be baptized, if you need to bring your life back in line with the kind of life that God wants you to live, won't you come now as we stand together and sing our invitation song?